Our scripture this morning is from Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, the parable of the talents. For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, and to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the five talents went off at once and traded with them and made five more talents. But the one who had in the same way, the one who had the two talents made two more talents. But the one who had received the one talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me five talents. See, I have made five more talents." His master said to him, "Well done, good and trusty slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the two talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me two talents. See, I have made two more talents." His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the one talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who won with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth."
The past couple weeks, I've preached from the Old Testament part of our lectionary. And today, I'm going to switch places to the New Testament, to this parable in Matthew. I'm switching because this parable I'm really uncomfortable with, and simply it makes me a little bit crazy, because in my day job I'm an accountant, I'm in management, so I kind of get this stuff, and I really want to say, "Jesus, is that really what you want to say? Really? Where is the justice? Where is the mercy in all of this?" So I want you to join me and take a few minutes and let's think about this parable, okay? This story about servants and slaves and owners and managers and talents. Now, first of all, I want you to know that I really believe Jesus' parables are really complicated. And they're really, really challenging. We have a Tuesday night Bible study group in my church in Grand Rapids, and we call it Girlfriends. And we've been meeting and talking about Matthew lately, and we're up to chapter 12, so we're a little farther than this one. And we read those parables that are in chapter 12 and 13, and I was amazed at the differences of opinions, the differences of meanings. And so I want you to know that I know that there's a whole bunch of different meanings. Parables are complicated. There are many layers, many facets of meaning. Parables are stories that are heard differently in different ways at different times. And so I'm going to start with this premise, okay? That if I say I know the meaning, I'm pretty much mistaken, and I'm pretty much probably not correct. So how was that for spiritual leadership, huh? Okay, so this parable of the talents, it's the second parable in Matthew 25. And to those of us here in the U.S. that breathe capitalism, the parable about the servants giving an accounting to their managers, I think most of us know what that feels like, don't we? But this parable sounds like Jesus is suggesting to his disciples that they invest well and that they do the least by depositing their money into a savings account and getting the minimal interest. But I don't think this parable is all about money. I think Jesus uses money as a metaphor for something deeper than cash or a bank balance. And I want you to consider where this parable is found in the book of Matthew. It's towards the end. And after this, Jesus is betrayed and he dies. So I want to suggest to you that I don't think Jesus is challenging his disciples to invest well. So that's my take. Sometimes we've heard this story to be about talents, in a sense of personal gifts and abilities that God expects us to do well with for the sake of God's realm. Using your talents and good things will happen. Bury them, leave them unexercised, and you're going to end up in the cold. So then this parable is about putting our talents and our resources to good use or be held accountable. I think that makes a really good stewardship message, and you've probably heard it like that before. Time, talents, and money. But I have something else I would like to suggest to you. I would like to suggest to you that this parable is also about trust. The parable begins with this huge act of trust. The master, the owner, is ready to leave town, and he's going on a journey. And he entrusts a huge chunk of his wealth to his three servants. The master does something quite reckless, probably unheard of, quite amazing. And each servant is given an amount. Yet each amount is huge. A talent is a lot of cash. One talent, two talents, or five talents, it's clear to me that the master trusts his servants. In fact, he hands over the money and he doesn't even give them any instructions. How lucky are they? After a long time, the master returns and he calls his three servants. Two of them have doubled their money, and the third has made nothing at all. He returns to his master exactly what he has received. And it turns out that this servant has simply buried his money in the ground. And that was a very common security measure back in ancient times. And he reveals the reason for his action. It's fear. Fear of his master. His trust for his master is zero. He's reduced his financial risk to zero. And yet he's also reduced the possibility of profit to zero also. The story, as we have it, leaves us with an unanswered question. How would that master have responded to the first two servants if they had not brought a profit? What if they had put that money at risk and came to him with empty hands? I've been thinking about that a lot this week. And you know what? I think the master would have accepted them. Because in this story, he commends them not for their profits, but for their faithfulness. He does not commend the servant who earned five talents more than the one who produces two. Each receives the same commendation. Well done, good and trustworthy servant. Each one receives the same invitation. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And then, in responding to the third servant, the master makes it clear that he would have accepted anything, even rock-bottom savings account interest, as long as it was motivated by trust rather than fear. The third servant paints a very ugly picture of his master as grasping, who demands success. What the servant gets for his trouble is exactly the rejection he fears. I believe he's a small-minded man who insists that his master also is small-minded. The other two servants, however, recognize generosity when they see it. The piles of money thrust their way reveal a master who's generous, who takes risks, who accepts them, even honors them. And finding themselves on the receiving end of such outrageous trust, they feel empowered and are willing to take a risk of their own. The love their master has shown them overcomes their fear of failure. This parable about a master and his three servants turns upside down the standards of this world. It announces that the worst thing that can happen to us is not failure. The worst thing that can happen to us is that we make God out to be this horrible old grouch who rejects us when we fail, a God who keeps score and is ready to slap us down when we don't measure up. Ask yourself how your image of God affects the way you live. What would change in your life if you really, really, really believed that you were loved by God no matter what? What would change in your life if you really believed everyone around you also was loved by God no matter what? This story tells us that the worst thing is not losing out. The worst thing is never risking. In the eyes of God, the fear that keeps a treasure in the ground is an act of unbelief. The freedom that puts that treasure at risk and even may result in loss, that is the act of faith. I think that sometimes, at least for me, it's just easier to bury that faith. It's simpler to tuck that gospel into some hidden place far away. It makes sense for us to take God out of the closet on Sundays, and maybe in those times of emergency, you know, like when your car is coming up against that snow pile, or maybe when someone very dear to you is sick or ill. We want God to be close then, don't we? What would your life look like and feel like if every part of it was affected, was changed, was transformed, was liberated, and filled with possibilities by our still speaking God? What would that feel like in your life? What would you risk for that reality to be part of your life? Will you risk that today with me? Amen.